Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
On today's show, comedians Celia Pakola and Josh Earle join me to discuss Australian movies live at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. My name is Justin Hamilton, and we're going full Yahoo Serious on Big Squid. Hello, I hope you're well, and thank you for swinging by to enjoy this live podcast that was recorded at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival on April 16th. Celia and Josh bring their A-game to this discussion about Australian movies, and it was a great Sunday afternoon recording with a fantastic audience. If you were there in the audience, you were just great, just exactly what we're looking for on a Sunday record, and it was a lot of fun. And a big shout out to the crew behind the scenes as well who helped this recording happen. Everyone made it run very smoothly. A few quick things before we launch into the podcast. It appears I am dealing with some long COVID issues. Turns out 3 times is the charm. So if you've noticed my output here slowing down, I'm trying to find a balance between work and rest. So hopefully I'm on the upswing, but for the moment things will be a little slower here at the podcast until I'm back to 100%. Last week I also found out that Adelaide comedian and DJ Ian Bell passed away, and I was incredibly saddened to hear this news. Ian was a top bloke who I always enjoyed a chat with when I was back in Adelaide, and I tell you what, he knew how to make a dance floor bounce. So my thoughts and condolences go out to his wife and his extended family and also his close friends. Very funny guy. Craig Egan on Facebook has put up posts of images that he used to put together and albums, fake albums and things like that. And it's all very funny stuff. So while this is awful news, if you can check that out and enjoy his sense of humour and celebrate a man who has unfortunately left us way too young. I've had some very nice emails from people asking me when I will be covering Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and I'm guessing the answer to that will be whenever it pops up on Disney Plus. I don't know if you may have missed me talk about this, but I'm out on Marvel. I still haven't seen Ant-Man or most of the recent TV shows, so I'm afraid it will be a while. I don't dislike them. I just have no interest in them. I have no passion for these films anymore, and I'm just kind of bummed out any time I see them. So I'd rather see different things. I'd rather see more interesting things. So, I saw Beau is Afraid. I thought that was really good. That's the new Ari Aster film. I don't know if I can recommend it to anyone because it's a 3-hour movie about an anxious man trying to deal with the anxiety that is Jewish mother has put upon him. Look, I would suggest it to Ben Elwood, who saw it and loved it. But for the rest of you out there, you know, it might not be up your alley, but I thought it was great. And I saw the French film The Innocent, and I That was fantastic. I would recommend that one to you. It's a story about a young man whose mum marries a criminal being let out of jail, and it is funny, sad, exciting. It's everything I want in a film, so I'd rather see movies like that. I've also been watching some old films like The Night of the Hunter, a really old film with Robert Mitchum, which when you look at it, you go, wow, I can really see how David Lynch was a fan of this and many modern movie makers, to be honest. It's quite bizarre, but it's fantastic. And I also just rewatched Get Out last night, which I hadn't watched in ages as well. And that's, you know, like that's not that old, but it's been a while since I watched it. So I was really into that. And funnily enough, I remembered it being much scarier than it was. But upon rewatch, maybe I've only seen it the once and I saw it at the cinema. So you kind of getting yourself prepared for everything and then it plays out and you go, oh, this is more like a creepy episode of The Twilight Zone rather than a jump scare kind of film. But that was well worth the rewatch. It's on Netflix and it is being taken off on the 15th of May. So if you, that's what actually inspired me to watch it. So if you are keen to watch it and you have Netflix, I'd get onto that very soon. I've also watched the next Mission Impossible movie for our Mission Impossible series, so I will put up Mission Impossible 3 and then Adam and I will record for Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol. And I've watched the next science fiction film for Space Odyssey. Do you want to know what it is? Yeah, I'll tell you because it'll be a while before we get to it. The movie is Her with Joaquin Phoenix and Scarlett Johansson. Felt like it was an appropriate time to go back and look at that film. So Ben and I will be recording that soon. I did see the new Oppenheimer trailer, and what can I say? I'm pumped. I am really, really looking forward to this, which I know is of no surprise. But to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't do as well at the box office. I think people seem to want to see movies like Super Mario Brothers, where they don't have to worry for 90 minutes. And this really will be intense. But I don't know. We put too much emphasis on box office. Some of the best movies I've seen in the last 6 months did not do that well at the box office. You know, like I thought Tar was a masterpiece and, you know, that did not make a lot of money. So I don't think box office is reflective of quality. And I think this will be fantastic. This might be, you know, maybe this will be the magnum opus for Nolan. I've read the book that this is based on and it's weird to say this, but it's strangely thrilling. The race to develop the atom bomb before the Nazis do, and then everything that comes from it. You know, it's confronting, but it is also exciting. So I can't wait to see this film. And I also know that Robert Downey Jr. is playing an absolute arsehole, and I'm really excited about that because I think he's a great actor and I want to see him be great again. Okay, finally, over at Patreon, I've been uploading old interviews from my original podcast, Can You Take This Photo, Please? These have been about 10 years old, actually, bang on 10 years old, and show amazing insight into some of our great comedians. So far, there's interviews with Tom Gleason, which is pre-Hard Quiz / Logies. There's Cal Wilson, pre-Bake Off. There's Will Anderson, pre-everything. And Ronnie Chang, pre-fame. So if you'd like to hear those along with a lot of other podcasts, head to patreon.com/ Justin Hamilton and you'll find a tier that suits you. That's patreon.com/ Justin Hamilton. When you sign up, you also have an episode of the podcast dedicated to you. And today's shout out goes to Dane Bohan. Thanks for being a Patreon, Dane. It is very much appreciated. And I hope you are enjoying all the bonus podcasts over at the site. And also, I really hope you enjoyed this live recording. It was really fun. And it was one of those classic afternoons or shows where I was so grateful I had my computer on my lap because I wanted to check some stuff out. And, you know, be able to look up stuff, you know, while we were recording, etc. And, you know, I thought, wow, this show's really kicking along. I better check what the time is. And we were at like 39 minutes or 37 minutes or something like that. And I was like, Oh, I thought we were about 15 minutes in and there was a show on after us, so I really had to tighten it up. But there you go. I hope you enjoy it, Dame. All right, let's get to the show. I'll stop banging on. So sit back and enjoy Celia, Josh and this guy as we talk Aussie movies.
On today's podcast, Celia Pecola and Josh Earle join me here in Melbourne. I must be in Melbourne. I'm wearing a fucking scarf. Please, welcome to the stage, Justin Hamilton for Big Squid. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm not wearing a scarf. I fucking lied. Anyway, I'm glad you guys are wearing masks. I've got COVID again. Bad time to tell you. Anyway, it's going to be fun. No, you can't catch it more than four times. I'm up to three. This is fantastic. I'm going to sneeze halfway through this show and you'll see my brains go out of my ear. Anyway, wasn't going to open like this. It's good to be here. Good to be back in sunny Melbourne. And thank you very much for sending the AFL to Adelaide. I appreciate that. That's fucking great as well. Now, any fans of... I used to run a previous show called The Shelf. Any fans of that here? All right, now, you all know, as fans of The Shelf, what was the thing that Adam Richard used to get angry at me about? Overbooking. Yes, I'm the only man who overbooked a Bucks party. This is true. Too many strippers for Limo. Anyway, another story for another time at the bar. Why are you asking me now, Sam Streeter? But anyway... So normally this show goes for 3 or 4 hours. I had this big opening. I was going to do every Australian movie Billy Crystal style. I was going to come out in high heels. I was going to tear all my hamstrings three times. But we don't have time for it. We only have an hour. So we're going to get right into it. We're going to talk about Australian movies, why Australian movies are great. We're going to remind you that you should see Australian movies. We're going to talk about some abstract ones. We're going to try to redeem Mel Gibson. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I know it's hard. It's hard, but hang in there with me. That's going to be my mission for today, and we're going to bring out two of the most beautiful comedians from the Australian comedy scene. He's a little fucking muscly nugget. Welcome to the stage, Josh Earle, and the beautiful Celia Pecola.
Hello.
Look at those arms.
Hello.
Look at those arms.
Thank you.
Celia, there.
Thank you.
You're looking great.
Thank you. I've been lifting...
Babies.
6 kilos every day just with this arm.
That's a good workout.
Do you know what you don't learn before you become as a mother? Sorry, it's taking me 0.1 of a second.
Was that officially your first as a mother on stage?
I say it a lot to the woman in the shops. She does appreciate it.
BWS is
just
the
looking
shop,
for anyone to talk to. Yeah, I know. Anyone else have to mix up your BWSs so they don't know it's a problem? You're like, if you go to a different one each day. Anyway.
Yes. You go in and say, it's for someone's 40th. What's a good wine for someone's 40th? Yeah. I'll get 8 bottles, thank you.
Yeah.
And a bendy straw.
But you just don't realise how much stuff you can't do with one arm. When you're holding a baby, like making toast. I thought I'll be fine with that.
No,
it's fucked.
No.
You can put the toast in the thing, the toast comes out, but putting spread on it, then it's fucked. Yeah. If I'd known that, wouldn't have had a kid.
Yeah.
What a waste.
I was really thinking about having one, but you fucked it. No, I don't
Sorry.
Think so.
So why the drummer from Def Leppard only doesn't have any kids? He just can't.
Yeah. Jeez, imagine if he was here going, you can't fucking spread toast, mate. Like, suddenly that's gone horribly pear-shaped. Wow. And what about you, Josh? What's been happening? What have you been... Why are your arms so fucking muscular? What's happening?
Depression. I don't know.
Oh, it's really working for you.
Thank you. Yeah. I've got to run away from my inner demons. I thought I'd wear... Because this is talking about Australian film. I thought I'd wear... I never wear this top ever. My Australian film top, which is Yahoo Serious. But underneath it says The Replacements, which is a band. Has nothing to do with... Lockdown was hard, guys, and I purchased some things, and this is the one purchase that I forgot that I purchased, and it came in, I went, that's really funny. I got 2 laughs out of it.
Yeah, it was worth it as well.
Well, probably not, but still.
I was into it. I had the drummer from the Go-Betweens at a gig in Sydney recently, and she was having a little flirt with Hammo. I've hit a new stage. I'm the Blue Rinse Beefcake. That is title for next year's show. That's what it'll be. So 71.
Because she's in the ad. She's in the insurance ad for senior citizens.
Yeah, well, great.
So, you know, if you make it into the wheel, yeah, get a coin.
Look, I would be lying if I had said that I hadn't thought of that. But I'm an Australian comedian. I've been earning hundreds of dollars for years. I've got to fucking start thinking about the future now. And if the future is not too long, but I get a property out of it, bingo. That's good. So we're going to talk Australian movies. We have like three each. We have an hour to get through this show, so I can't wait to talk about two of them. And but one of the movies that we were going to talk about, we might as well go straight into Young Einstein, because that was the one that I brought up.
Well, I haven't done a lot of prep, I'll be honest. But when I thought about it, like this movie, I had to genuinely go back and Google it and to make sure it wasn't a fever dream.
Yeah.
You know, it was one of those ones where I was like, that can't be right. And it's great. Like I've got such fond memories of it. It was completely bonkers.
Did you ever go to Movie World where they had the house that with the slant on it?
Did they? No.
Yeah. Oh, you could be Superman and then you could also walk on Yahoo Series' floor.
Yeah. Right.
Really is Hollywood on the Gold Coast.
And looking at the Wikipedia of it, like it was kind of big. I don't know. I've just got a vague memory.
It was really big.
It was huge.
But there was all animals through. Like every scene in my memory had a kangaroo. Do you remember the scene with the kittens in a pie? Like they almost baked kittens into a pie.
And it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Back in the day when you could do that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't remember it, it was a 1988 film about Albert Einstein growing up in Tasmania where he splits the atom with a chisel and invents rock and roll and surfing. And it was a big hit in Australia. And it also had one of the great, great soundtracks.
Yeah.
And I reckon that is one of the things that Aussie movies need to get back on track with.
Yeah.
Is just fucking rip out 15 cracking songs onto a soundtrack.
Well, someone even in the audience said Dumb Things by Paul Kelly was on.
Yes.
And it, when I hear that harmonica.
Unless that was a very quiet heckle. Like that was just Jesus Christ. You just were so positive that you just filled it in. Oh yeah, that reminds me.
But when I hear the harmonica, I think of Yahoo Serious. I don't think of Paul Kelly.
But also I don't know what the budget was back then. It looks amazing. Like there's incredible shot, you know, there's a 1 second shot of him in the rowboat and the ocean and the cliffs and the like it, and all the props, like when he builds all these gizmos and stuff, like it looks really schmick.
Yeah, and it was really special inventive.
Effects, yeah.
And do you remember the first thing that happens in the movie? Does anyone remember?
Is that he's cutting his hair with a pot.
Even before that, when you're sitting in the cinema and you've had the adverts, Val Morgan's come out, done his adverts, and then the first thing that happens in the film, it comes up in writing. A serious movie.
Ah.
Yahoo Serious. As a kid, it was like, this guy's a fucking genius. Like, because I don't know if you get it, it's not.
It's
not a serious movie. By the third film, a serious movie came up and you went, oh, no, let's watch something else. But
I think we're going to talk about this later, but this was the first ever film I saw at the cinema.
Really?
Oh, was it?
My dad took me and my two brothers, and I remember we got there early. My dad likes to get to things early, so we bought a family-sized popcorn and we ate it. We walked along the streets of Burnie, ate popcorn, and then when we finished it, it was time to go on the movie. And I still remember that walk along is like one of the highlights of my childhood, which is depressing, but it was a nice moment where we were just eating popcorn, excited with Village Cinema 1, only the one screen.
Wow.
Yeah. Such a shit cinema that when I saw Kill Bill 2 in there, the scene, spoilers, one scene, they're buried alive.
What?
And you couldn't see anything on the screen.
Right.
It was just dark.
Yeah.
Couldn't see a single thing. So I just thought, oh, Tarantino's really going for this.
Yeah.
10 minutes of just complete darkness.
Like, yeah.
Wow. Shit.
Yeah, I've had that at the cinema where you go, that is an artistic choice. And then they say, sorry, we're going to have to restart the movie. And you go, oh, okay, that was a good waste of time. So that's a nice memory, though. That was your first film.
Mm.
Yep. What was it? First, do you remember what your first Aussie film was?
I don't remember because we watched a lot of VHS. Like we taped stuff off the television a lot. That was this film and my other one that I'll get to. But because I remember the only film I remember seeing at the cinema was Jurassic Park. Because I was too young. I was scared, and I had my fingers in my ears singing "Mary Had a Little Lamb" during the thing. So I looked up 99 because that was 1993. So 1995 was Babe. So maybe saw Babe at the cinema.
Yeah,
that seems like something I would see. But no, we went to shitty. It wasn't until I was at university that Chernside Park got its own cinema, and I saw Lord of the Rings there, and that was very exciting, and that blew my mind apart. I loved it.
You prefer the cinema to watching movies at home, or are you?
I rarely get out to the cinema. Yeah. I do prefer it when I do it, but it doesn't happen very often.
Do you have the?
It's usually with Luke McGregor, to be honest.
Yeah, like, absolutely.
See, as I'm doing this, I'm like,
he's dangerous to go to movies with.
Yeah, because he makes
you have such a good time with him. You walk out of the movie and you think it was better than it was.
Yeah, but he also makes you stay till the fucking end because he's like, just in case. I'm like, let's go, mate. They're cleaning up. I'm like, no, maybe something else will start. Like the next movie has started.
Yeah.
It's finished.
Yeah. He needs to see who named 3,297 on the FX on this Marvel movie.
Yeah, no,
was.
It's more. Oh, he thinks there's going to be a secret thing. He thinks there's going to be a, what's that called? Cutscene thing's going to come up.
Yeah, after credit scene. Yeah. God damn it. Ferris Bueller started that.
Did he?
That's what Marvel copied it from. So, because remember, at the end of Ferris Bueller, he'd come out and he'd say, "Why are you still here? Go, go." So it was a Ferris Bueller thing. So Ferris Bueller has a fucking lot to answer for.
That's a fantastic tidbit that I will take and share at my leisure.
Yes, please do. Thank you. It's all yours.
Thank you.
My first Aussie film showing my age was Storm Boy. I saw Storm Boy at the cinema. Don't mean to brag. Met Mr. Percival. I got a photo of little Juzzy Hammo giving a fish to Mr. Percival. That was the first big star I met, and it's all been downhill since then, to be honest. He was a delight for a pelican. He was a fucking delight. So I have some reviews of Young Einstein for you.
Yeah.
So it's a big hit in Australia, but failed in America, where I think it didn't work in America because they were like, that didn't happen that way. And it's like... To which we all replied, sometimes I get too articulate, so I just put all the words together and it makes one noise. But Roger Ebert, who the great reviewer, said it's a one-joke movie and I didn't laugh much the first time. And he postulated that the possible lack of appeal to an American audience was because... By moving Einstein to Australia, he was able to set up comic situations that appealed to the vast and inexhaustible fascination the Australians have about their own isolation and gawky charm. But the jokes don't travel very well. And you know what? Why don't we ever take the Americans into consideration when we make stuff? God! Fucking hell, Australia. Just looking at yourselves, writing jokes that we might appreciate. So... You know, Roger Ebert, I like him a lot, but go fuck yourself on that one. Do you know what Yahoo Serious' next two films were?
There was one, Mr. Accident.
That was his third film.
And Reckless Kelly.
Yeah.
That was his second
but
film.
Mr. Accident was the one in my memory, again, feels like a fever dream. It was something to do with eggs and smoking.
He was a...
Was it? Is that the film? It was right? He was an egg...
He played a character called Roger Crumpkin. And,
Love
you know
it.
What? Let's That's be honest. Let's give it up for that name.
It's
a funny name.
Right,
Yahoo's had some tough times. Let's give it up for Roger Crumpkin. But he was a young, accident-prone maintenance man at an egg factory.
Thank you.
And it has a rocking 17% on Rotten Tomatoes.
But it was something to do with nicotine. They were putting nicotine or something
in the eggs.
Made it less fun. Like, it was less fun. You know, you're like, oh, this is going to be zany work at an egg thing. You're like, oh, no.
And it's like,
addiction
what?
And tobacco and stuff was weird.
So this is interesting about Reckless Kelly. Mm-hmm. The reviewer, Neil Gillett, who was a film critic for The Age, wrote, someone, big fan over here, said, there are some good gags along the way and a few of the plot's twists have an entertainingly surreal zaniness. But there is much heavy going on. Most of the messages Sirius loads into the film, protect the environment, hate violence and banks, mock the British, go for a republic, sneer at American fads, and religious hypocrisy, are presented with a smugness that was missing from Young Einstein. And now that I've read that review, I want to go back and watch Reckless Kelly.
Yeah, sounds great.
I feel like he was ahead of the
curve. It really does sound like he took that original review very personally and went, right, my next film is not for you specifically.
Eggs.
Yeah.
Nicotine.
Yeah.
Falling over.
Yeah.
Mr. Accident worked it out. Yeah. Anyway, but I reckon I reckon Young Einstein's a good one, and I think there is. I'm glad that you brought it up because it was there is a quirky charm to it, and there is something innocent about just making like the act of pure creativity. I'm just going to make this film, and here it is, and it was fantastic.
Awesome. Do I win the podcast?
Yeah. You do.
I win.
You do.
Thank you.
But thank you for coming.
It's also risky because it's been a long time and I haven't had time to rewatch it. So it's one of those things where talking about any film, you're like, I hope it's like, I have no idea if it stands up or if it's got something deeply problematic.
I think we're
in
a very comfortable place to just all remember it together.
Yeah.
And maybe not go back and watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But let's just all remember that it was great and we all feel good. And
where did he come from though? Where did he, not state, but like, where did he get the money to make a film? First place.
Well, from what I remember, it was like it was so low budget. I think he like literally, proper use of the word literally. He sold his car to get revenue. His mum was cooking on the set. You know, it was a real jam and glue kind of situation. Yeah. So, did you also know that Yahoo Serious tried to sue Yahoo for copyright infringement?
Did he win?
No.
Oh.
Imagine that. I've just got to look up something on Yahoo Serious.
Yeah.
What would you like to
the
bring
man
up?
Who invented the googly eyes as well tried that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Google.
It was Marty Feldman, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'll start with my first one. I said so. This when we were growing up, we were a 5 weekly movie a week kind of family. So the video shop, we would just spend hours in there looking at the covers, and there was 5 members of our family. We'd all get 1 pick each.
Right. So was this like $5 for $10?
$5 for $10, or overnight for $6? And my parents were like, "We're not doing that. What a waste!" And so we would wait 8 months until we can see like the new releases. Yeah. And this was a movie.
I am not paying $6 yeah. to own a movie for 24 yeah. hours. Yeah.
But I would choose this movie quite a lot, and it's called Frog Dreaming. I don't know if anyone remembers Frog Dreaming. Brian May from Queen did the soundtrack. It has Rachel Friend in it. It has Tamsin West, who was in Round the Twist.
Yep.
First season.
Oh, Linda?
Linda, yeah. She sang Round the Twist, even though she wasn't in after the first season. And it also has the kid from E.T., Henry Thomas.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't realise, but I named my son Henry Thomas. And someone, when I put it out there, someone said, "Oh, from the kid from E.T." I'm like, "Oh, the kid from Frog Dreaming, more like." And so Frog Dreaming is this American boy. He's an orphan. He moves to Australia to live with his only family member called Gazza.
Yeah. And it's Gazza. His parents dead.
Yes.
So he's like, "Well, I've got to get out of America."
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense.
And so he moves to a small country town, and there's a abandoned quarry, like filled in with water. Mm-hmm. And evil stuff happens, and everyone's scared of the quarry, and everyone's scared of the water. And so the gorge. And it turns out, I don't know, spoiler alert, it's a excavator that comes to life for some reason. And comes out of the water, and it's all covered in weed and stuff like that. And as a kid, I reckon I watched it about 20 times, fascinated, going, "This doesn't make any sense."
Yeah.
Adults are lying to me. Yeah.
Adults are lying to you in the movie?
Yeah, like surely someone watched it first and go, "Oh, but they can't do that." Like,
right.
Now you're going to sell it to these kids and say, like, these things can just come alive.
Oh, so you were like...
And it was called a donkajon, and the actual excavator is sometimes called a donkey engine. And so there's the little thing there, which just, as a kid, just going, "Oh, it all comes together, but it doesn't make any sense." Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Fine.
The excavator, was it like from, like, was it the one from Mr. Squiggle looking for extra work? Is that what was going on?
Was it Gus? That was a Gus, yeah. No, but I remember, because we used to holiday at this place called Ujanana and we'd camp, and there was like, that was an abandoned quarry that filled with water, and there was a pool next to it that was just the runoff water, and it would just have this algae on top. And I was always scared of it because of Frog Dreaming, but my uncle, being an arsehole, once floated into it without making the water move, and as I was about to jump into the tomb, he just got up, and all the algae on top was all over his face. He was, "Oh!" And for the rest of that holiday, I refused to swim.
Yeah.
And somehow it was my fault. I was being a prima donna for not wanting to get in the water. Yeah.
It's really beautiful, like the kids' imagination with movies. My nephew is like 6 or something, and at Christmas I was interested whether he believes in Santa or not. And he was like, I thought maybe he wasn't real, but then I saw Elf. And it was even a film, so it has to be real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's his favourite documentary.
Yeah. He genuinely was like, "I didn't, that was all bullshit." But then I watched Elf and I was like, "Oh, if it's in a film, then it's true." So, kids are
alone.
Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because half of that film has animated snowmen in it as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that must be real too.
Yeah.
And so, have you seen Frog Dreaming?
No, I didn't. Why would Frog Dreaming? It's nothing to do with an excavator.
It was.
Where's the frogs?
That was one of the videos I got.
Quarry filled with water. Was there a single frog in it?
Oh, no.
This is the worst. I'm walking out of that and filming.
One of the other videos that we got, which, because Mum would just say, "I'll go get, pick whatever you want." And my older brother, who's only 2 years older than me, when we were like 9, picked Meet the Feebles. I don't know if you've ever seen.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the fucked up Muppets, isn't it?
Yeah, but my mum just went, "Oh, yeah, fine. No. It's Puppets, fine. Watch that." I remember watching that as a kid going, why are the humping? Yeah,
yeah.
Well, Mum walked in and went, "All right, turn this one off. Okay.
Yeah.
Put on Frog Dreaming again."
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Did you watch Frog Dreaming? Have I just completely missed this?
I missed it because I reckon like, that came out in 86
yeah.
and I was a big boy. But yep. and I was same I was watching grown-up movies. Like,
same reason why I didn't watch Star Wars as a kid, because it was like, that was an old film. Like, it, when I was like, people were like, oh, you should watch Star Wars. I'm like, yeah. oh, it's old. I'm not into that.
Yeah, but around that age, I was like, I was watching Dead Poets Society and feeling emotional.
oh, Captain, my Captain.
Oh, can't even cope with you saying that. Have you rewatched E.T. in recent years?
No, and it wasn't huge for me as a kid. I don't know. I think I might have watched it later at first. Ooh, I watched Short Circuit.
Oh,
sorry,
yeah.
I don't know why that jumped in my... Right. That was my yeah. era. I was in the Short Circuit, yeah. so I didn't see it.
E.T.'s a masterpiece.
Short Circuit hasn't aged well, by the
has
way.
Has it not? Oh, good to know.
No.
No. But E.T.'s great.
Good. Bit of brown face happening.
Oh,
yeah.
really?
Yeah. yeah.
On and a not, robot?
No.
No. Sure.
Wow.
To be honest, if it was on the robot, I would be rewatching it. Wow, that is on racist robot right there. Have you ever seen the... It floats around on YouTube or on social media, the Henry Thomas audition for E.T. And it's just him, you know, auditioning quite clearly with Spielberg. And you go, oh, I wonder what this is like. And then you're crying watching the fucking audition. He Aww. Is so good. But Drew Barrymore is adorable. The interesting thing about E.T. is when you rewatch it, the kids are kind of arseholes. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're shitheads. And Elliot's a bit of a shithead as well. But it actually makes the movie better because he's real. Like, you go, oh, yeah, I understand what's going on with that kid. But yeah. you get to the end of it and it's like, why am I not watching this every year? This is fantastic. But it feels like a John Carpenter film at the start as well. It's kind of a bit creepy. So anyway, it's my hot tip, E.T. I'm going out on a limb.
I know.
One of those classics turns out to be a classic and also not Australian. So we'll... yeah, this is always the problem with Australian movies. So I'm going to throw one your way. So, you know what? So we were having email discussions. You're not quite across the Ausbloitation.
No, see, I don't know exactly what that means because in my mind maybe... bloody young Einstein would have been a bit. I don't know what the word means.
Right. So anyone who listens to the podcast, we have the segment with author Garth Jones, Pass the AML. By round of applause, who's on AML today? It's like, no. Anyway, so Ausbloitation movies are kind of low budget genre films mm-hmm. made in the 70s and 80s, and they're bonkers. Like they're absolutely bonkers. On the podcast, we've covered Stunt Rock, which is a 1978 mockumentary.
It's got a bunch of frogs in it.
Mate, even better. It's got an Aussie stuntman who heads to LA and tours with a heavy metal band called Sorcery. So Stunt Rock has stunts and rock in it. It is a perfect title for a movie. And in the rock band, like they're glam rock, like past the use-by date of glam rock, and they have the devil fight Merlin. And the stuntman comes down on a zip line and it is bonkers. And I watched it straight and felt high as a kite while I was watching it. There's also Sons of Steel, a 1988 sci-fi film where in a futuristic Australia, a plot to blow up the Sydney Opera House is discovered. And the only person who can save the day is rock and roll punk Black Alice, who must travel forward and then backward in time. And at one point rides a missile that looks like a massive cock. And... feels like a perfect summation of that film. If you ever get around to watching it, you'll go, what's he talking about? Then you'll see that massive cock and you'll go, yep, that's meant to be a missile. And or Razorback. Did you ever hear or see Razorback?
No.
19 of, yeah, a few people. 1984. It's about a massive wild boar. A big pig that terrorizes... Oh, sorry, I felt like I went full Tom Gleason then. That terrorises the Australian outback. It's directed by Russell Mulcahy, who did all those great film clips for Duran Duran and Elton John and that, and was nicknamed Jaws on Trotters.
Oh.
Right.
So I thought I'd bring a little bit of Ausbloitation to the table for our list, but I thought we'll go kind of accessible, but Mad Max 2. So Mad Max 2 is very much an Ausbloitation film. It's one of those films that, you know, when I was a kid, there was all this advertising for it, and I wasn't allowed to see it because it was like M, and it looked really scary. And then by the time I saw it, it's crazy camp. Like, it is, like, it's like people at the Mardi Gras would go, these people need to fucking calm down. Like, what is happening here? But and Mel's great. Like, here's my defense of Mel. There's Australian Mel, and then there's that fuckwit. So So Aussie Mel, Gallipoli, we'll have a little chat about Gallipoli, the year of living dangerously. Tim, like, we can all love that Mel, and then he goes and makes Lethal Weapon, you go, nah, you're out, mate. Like, it's like Russell Crowe, great Australian actor, Russell Crowe, bit shit New Zealand musician. Do you know what I mean? It's all right. Have you ever seen Mad Max 2?
I mean, maybe. Is it the one with the Thunderdome? No,
that's Mad Max Beyond then Thunderdome.
No. Oh, there you go. Yeah. What happens in 2?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
He drives a truck and he goes somewhere and shit goes pear-shaped and he drives another truck and he falls over.
Haircut?
It's great. He looks fantastic.
Incredibly sharp haircut.
It's a very sharp haircut.
See, that doesn't check out. No. You know, Armageddon, no one's getting that sharp haircuts.
I've never seen any of the Mad Maxes.
Oh, really?
Even the latest one. I've never seen it. Yeah.
That's so exciting.
I saw that one.
Yeah.
You've seen
the latest one, yeah.
All right. Well, that's
flame guitars.
Which one's Tina Turner in?
Beyond Thunderdome.
Great.
So there's Mad Max where he's not mad. He's actually quite happy.
Just Max.
Yeah.
Then they kill his wife and they kill his kid. Guess what he becomes? Mad. He's really fucking mad.
That film should really be called Mad John Wick.
Yeah.
He's real man.
Even madder John
Even
Wick.
Madder John
the
Wick.
Maddest John Wick.
Just when you think he can't get any madder, he's more mad. John Wick.
A little bit tired. John Wick.
Dog, John Wick.
Quite relaxed, John Wick. Yeah. Found love, John Wick. Still killing heaps of people with a gun, but it's great. But no.
He got mad.
So Mad Max 2, which was a big hit in the States, was renamed The Road Warrior because they can't bear to think that they didn't see the first one, so they just had to give it a different name. Incredibly influential. Lots of movies took on the aesthetic of The Road Warrior, and Mel Gibson's fantastic in it. Things have been wiped out, there's gangs on the highway, and he's this lone survivor who ends up helping these people move from one base to another.
Is it like Waterworld on land?
No, but Waterworld was called Mad Max on water.
I love that. That's fantastic. That felt really good in my head. Thanks.
Yeah. That worked out. We did not work that out.
I saw, you know, when you were saying, did I go to the house at Movie World? I went to LA, the Water World stunt show is still happening. Like, I was there, well, not that long ago, like 5 years ago. It's nuts. And the funniest thing about it is they introduce, so they do the stunt show and they're all getting exploded off jet skis and it's water, blah. But they do their introductions. They're like, give it up for Sally J. You would have seen her on episode 25 of Law and Order, blah, blah, blah. And they list all of their credits and it's all struggling actors. Like, play Dead Body in ad for Metamucil.
Yeah.
And they they're all trying to get work.
Right. Like, you got to be careful. You better not have too much Metamucil.
I know. But it was just so pathetic. I felt so bad for them.
Feels like when you do a corporate gig and the fucking person introducing you decides to list every credit. Says he started here in 1994 at a UA called the Bunter Boys. Like, you know.
Was SRC in year 11.
Because I want to know, has anyone been to Movie World? Do we still do the Police Academy stunt show here in Melbourne? Or in Queensland, I mean? Because that's a film that no one remembers these days. Like, because I interviewed, who's the guy who does the voices?
Michael Winslow.
Michael Winslow. And I asked him what was his favourite of all the Police Academy ones. And he said, my favourite of all time was the cartoon. And I was like, why did you need to be in the cartoon? Like, the fact that
you do the voices. That's the impressive thing. We can just get the Foley artist or get sound effects
yeah.
for this.
Yeah.
Don't need you at all.
Yeah. Because,
and I could see the cogs going, they go, oh, yeah, that's right. They didn't need me. I still, I was yeah. just a voiceover artist.
So suddenly Michael Winslow's looking at you going, thank fuck you weren't my manager. Like, I would have missed out on a pay packet yeah. here. That's so funny. Matt, that is a movie that, you know, I saw it at the cinema and oh. it was really funny. And I will not go back and watch that because that has aged terribly. Really badly.
Is it?
But anyway, yeah. good memories. That's all right. Sometimes you've got to move forward.
But let's move on to people who have aged well. Mel Gibson. How? Tell yes, us more right. about Mel. Like, yeah.
Right. As I'm saying, Aussie Mel Gibson, he is a delight. And also another movie, while we're talking about Mel, that I think we forget about as just being beautiful and worthwhile rewatching on a regular basis is Gallipoli. And I saw that at the cinema and it gave me such a healthy hatred for the British. It was it was great, you know, because he's so wonderful in it. The whole cast is fantastic. Directed by Peter Weir, written by David Williamson. And, you know, like I was nine when I saw it and yeah. I was inconsolable at the end.
Every time you did an Athletes Carnival, did you think to yourself, what are my
yeah.
legs?
Yeah.
Steel spoons, yeah. 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 I think every kid in Australia did that as well, yeah.
I actually think of that line like three times a day. Like, it's just that one of my legs steel springs, what are they going to do? Get caught in my tracksuit pants. This is a fucking disaster. But it was made for a budget of $2.8 million and it made $11.7 million in Australia and nearly $6 million in America. But it was really well, it won heaps of awards, but there was this wide criticism for the way the British command treated the Australian troops in the movie. But that is exactly what the British would huff and puff about. So go fuck yourself. You killed Mark Lee, and I'm not happy about it. And you let Mel Gibson live. Imagine if he died in Gallipoli. We could have just been happy about him all the time. So that would have been great. Have you seen Gallipoli?
I have, not for a very long time. And yeah. it's the same thing. I remember the big sort of moments, but not yeah. a lot of detail.
Did you have to watch it for school?
Maybe.
Yeah, we did.
Because
yeah.
I can't imagine, yeah.
It's no easier way to kill a movie than having to write an essay about it, yeah.
However, you say that, but my other film that I've brought today.
Yes.
We did watch in school, and I don't know where that started, but it is my favourite Australian film of all time. Favourite films of all time is League of Their Own and Labyrinth, just by the way. But Australian film of all time, thank you, is...
Labyrinth with my dad.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. yeah.
I know.
I miss him.
I know.
Popper.
I regularly dress my baby up like Toby.
Oh, really?
yeah. Put him on the ceiling. Her. So, put her on the ceiling. Anyway, but my Australian favourite film of all time is Strictly Ballroom.
Oh. Yes.
Which we did watch in school. Come on, 100! And I fucking love
Bogo Pogo.
Everything. The Bogo Pogo. Also being half Italian, the like, the you know, when they're all hanging out, they're like, listen to the rhythm.
Yeah.
Don't be scared.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I loved it so much. How clean the coffee cups, Fran. How's his skin, Fran? I just think it's so funny.
Yeah.
I loved it, love it, love it.
Yeah, it's so I had not I watched it again last week.
Yeah,
and it's so fresh.
It's so
it still
funny.
Holds up. So this is interesting. It previewed and opened in August 1992. Came in at number 6 in previews, and then expanded the following week. Ended up at number 2 in Australia, and then it went to number 1, and then it went back down to number 2. But by week 6, it went straight back to number 1. Like, you know what I mean? Like, movies come in, they hit big on the first week, they halve by the second week, by the third week, you're thinking, when's the next Marvel movie coming? And but here, it remained at number 1 for 7 weeks and then was knocked off by Romper Stomper.
Oh, so really?
Similar films. Yeah.
Similar films, yeah.
But, like, Paul Mercurio, has anyone else, it's sort of upset. I mean, it's just what happens with life. But, like, he was so hot. Like, at the time, it was like, this guy, fucking hot, when he bang, when he's on the mirror and stuff. And to watch him now as this sort of
slightly... He's like a TV chef, isn't he?
Slightly puffy presenter visiting cheese factories for postcards. Like, that's kind of what he's doing. He's like... G'day, here we are at blah, blah. Let's go and have a bit of a look. And did you make this yourself? Oh, this fig paste is nice. And so you can come down here yourself and meet Jan. Jan's good. Anyway, these pants don't seem to fit me anymore. All right, I'm going to go there. And it's just...
That's a dream job. I would love to be on postcards.
I would absolutely love. It's just not where I thought he'd go because I don't think he was really in any other film. Like at the time, I was like, this guy's going to be a star.
Yeah.
He was so charismatic and great and excellent. And
he's super hot in that poster.
He's so hot.
Yeah. He's got such beautiful eyes.
And Fran's beautiful. I forget her now, but I love it's just they're like age appropriate. I love everything about it. You know what I mean? Like you watch it, and I love this love story of shit. That's just excellent. And the slow clap. Oh my God, we wanted that so much when the dad comes out.
Yes.
When you go to Sydney, Celia, do you see the Coke sign in King's Cross and get excited?
Yes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I have one more fun fact which I didn't know. So myself and Luke McGregor did a television program called Rose Haven. 5 seasons done, right? 7 years. Thank you. 5 seasons. On the 5th season, I find out Chris McQuaid, who played Luke McGregor's mother, is in Strictly Ballroom.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's Barry Fife's hot toddy.
Yeah.
She's Barry Fife?
Yeah.
Is that the right name? Yeah, yeah. The woman with the big hair and the tits out. And she just casually dropped it one day. And I'm like, what the fuck, Chris?
Mate.
I've known you for 5 years and this is how you tell me you're in Strictly Ballroom.
If like you that earlier, would you have written like a ballroom dance scene?
Oh my God, yeah. So much. Totally. I'd get it to, you know, to pull a plug out of a wall and have some heel.
I would love to see Luke McGregor do the Bogo Pogo. That would be great. Just you coming on new steps.
New steps. There are no new steps. Sorry, would you like me just reenact the entire film? Because I will.
I'm always fascinated when someone drops something really magical like that years into knowing them. If I was in Strictly Ballroom, I'd be like, hello, I'm Justin Hamilton in Strictly Ballroom.
Exactly. We had another AD who, again, not till season 4, dropped that he worked on Lord of the Rings. Like, he was on in the like paddocks, and there's hundreds of extras on horses being like, right, you guys go down that mountain. And I was just like, I have so many questions. You should have told me this straight away.
Oh, man.
Everyone should lead with their most interesting facts.
Absolutely.
Right?
Tara Morris.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's her. And
I did find out as well. Apparently, it was a play first.
Yes.
And she was in the play.
Yep. Yes, she was.
But Paul Mercurio wasn't, I don't think.
No. I work with Tina Sparkles.
Shut up.
Yeah, I wrote
it's Kruger, isn't it?
Yeah, I wrote a season of Dancing with the Stars. Anyway, things are going well.
And, I won a season of Dancing with the Stars. So. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know, but it's I've got to be honest, it's much harder writing for it. Like, you know, like it's great that you won a little award dancing, but. But you didn't. So you got.
I wrote my own jokes.
You got Amanda and.
Amanda and Danielle, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I work with Sonia, who's great. And Daryl, who's. Daryl. He's he wouldn't use it anyway. Well, you know what? I'll put this. I'm writing the next season as well, so I'll put this up after the season's done.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't use any of my jokes because he's got his own writer who's also a hairdresser. And Justin Hamilton won awards, whatever. But I so one of the shows we had a clip of Chris Hemsworth, and he said to the audience, Chris Hemsworth, whatever happened to that guy? Here he's. Working in a bank now. Oh, no, that's right. He bought the bank. Hey, what was that Marvel movie he made? And everyone yells out, Thor! And he goes, I bet he was pretty Thor after he was on Dancing with the Stars. Didn't deliver it as well as I just did then. And it was dead silent in the room. And one of the producers behind me said, do you feel bad that your name is on the credits as writer?
Yeah.
And I said, apart from Luke McGregor, no one reads the credits. So I'll be fucking fine. So...
Back on Strictly Ballroom, can I just say, because I just remembered, because I don't know if you can tell how much I love it. Also, amazing soundtrack.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
love
absolutely.
Is in the air. Are you kidding me?
John Paul Young.
And the one, the Time After Time.
Yep. Yep. I swear to God, it's a lost art form. Like, you know, put money aside in your budget for big soundtracks and get it out there so
I mean,
then people
everyone who makes a film would want to have amazing song, but I just assume it's just so expensive.
Well, Baz was a DJ.
Right.
Yeah, and so he would always, like, put good songs in his movies.
I know, but to get the rights to, you know, DJs can play stuff you can't just put in your movie, right?
That's true.
Is it? But I don't know how it works. Oh my God.
But you know, the sunscreen song.
Yeah.
Yeah, from Romeo and Juliet soundtrack. Mm-hmm. So there's a great podcast about that.
That's good as well.
Where he discovered that and then played it. And Triple J were like, oh, we're not going to play anything from this album that you've made. And he goes, just play this song for me. And played it. And the phone lines went crazy. And it was a hit all around the world. But no one knew who did it. Everyone thought that it was written by, what's the guy who wrote, Kurt Vonnegut. They thought it was a Kurt Vonnegut piece. And it wasn't. It was some... female writer from Baltimore who did a local news paper thing.
Right. You know, we were at the Actor Awards last year and...
Getting COVID.
It was great. it's only my second time and I feel like I'm in a toxic relationship with COVID. Like we are... Like I try to see other viruses, but we just keep coming back trying to see if we can make it work.
And just something bringing you back.
One of the highlights of that was there was a big screen with Baz Luhrmann's face on it that they just did not take down for ages, and it was just his. And I have to be honest, he leant into it, and he just like just was staring at people, just pursing his lips, and he looked like the Wizard of Oz. And he was just up there for like about half an hour.
It was a live cross to him. He was getting an award in the UK, so they just obviously had it open for ages.
Yeah, for ages. And he didn't think, well, I shouldn't move. I'm Baz Luhrmann. I will stay here. Because I have done heaps of things. Yeah. So where do you stand on Baz Luhrmann in his films? Because I like his films, but I have to be, especially later on, I have to be in the mood. If I'm in the mood, I'll have a good time. But if I'm even slightly cynical, I'm fucked.
I really enjoyed Moulin Rouge when I saw it at the cinema.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, it was fun. It wasn't like, I didn't go into it going, that's an amazing piece of art, but it was really fun. And she coughed into the hanky and was like, oh no, he's done the thing. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not seen Australia. I've heard good things.
There is, I went with a gaggle of gays, including Adam Richard, who I said, do you want to say anything to the Melbourne audience? And he said no. And very Adam. And so I was with a gaggle of gays watching Australia, and there's a moment where Hugh Jackman takes off his shirt and sponges himself. And I think it's meant to be a super hot moment, but it's this weirdly overly homoerotic camp moment. And it was so homoerotic that all the gays, just for a brief instance, became heterosexual.
Right.
It was amazing. Like, just for a moment, they just started going, oh, yeah, how good's footy? And, yeah, what about chicks? Yeah, great. And then that changed and they went, oh, yeah, no, I'm gay again. That's good, so.
I don't know. I just, my love for Strictly Ballroom and Set Closer, I really enjoyed Romeo and Juliet. At the time, perfect. I was the perfect age for that. It was so cool and edgy and, like, they're using Shakespeare language but made it modern and it's, you know, it was, I loved it. I just sort of don't really, I haven't watched Australia, I haven't watched Great Gatsby, I just live in my lovely little Strictly Ballroom.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to know. That's I've never seen any movies from Mel Gibson post Gallipoli. He seems quite nice to me. So we can kind of segue into that because one of the films that you wanted to talk about was...
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. So yay! So this, I went when I was living in Burnie. So if you don't know, Burnie's a pretty rough town. And me and my friend Ryan Pedderwood went to the movies together one day in year 7 it was. And we went and saw Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. And I walked out of there going, aren't we a couple of allies? Like, it's just... just felt really good about ourselves. And it was like... And my parents...
In 27 years, this is going to really work for us.
Yeah. My parents bought me the soundtrack.
I was going to say, amazing. We had CD,
I reckon I could sing every single line still to this day because it was when we only had, like, 4 CDs in the house. And that was one. That was my one. And I listened to it every day. And my parents were... nice and supportive. My dad was like, you still like footy, mate? Yeah. But, it was... but it was a real, like... And I thought it was really funny, really funny film. I went to Broken Hill. It's Broken Hill, right? Yeah. I went there for Roadshow once and went to the pub where they said it. And it's like, it's great. It's one of those...
It was really wonderful, that soundtrack as well, because it was a different kind of music. You know what I mean? Yeah. I had to do the Bartman cassette. And then the Priscilla soundtrack was like, there was opera in there and these like track, you know, music that wasn't.
I loved it. It's great.
Were you guys old enough for the Guy Pearce experience? Because when Guy Pearce was on Neighbours, he was not Jason Donovan. He was Mike. And it's like, that fucking guy. Why are we wasting time with him? And then Guy Pearce becomes the actor and you go, Guy Pearce, how wonderful is he? And he's got such beautiful cheekbones. It's so perfect for this film. And it's such a wavering kind of experience with an actor where you go, oh, he's great.
Yeah, he is great. And also he's in one of my favourite films, Memento as well, which is also another great. Yeah,
I may have
and
seen that.
And LA Confidential, who was excellent in. And Russell Crowe. Isn't that crazy?
Interesting, Priscilla, lots of people think is a Baz Luhrmann film.
No, Stephen Elliott, right?
It's not. It's Stephen Elliott. Do you have a drag name?
No. I always think of it was Wills, which was Will Anderson, which was Kerry Mann Kennelly.
Oh, yeah.
If I think of a drag, I just think of that and I go, nothing's ever going to be as good as that. So I'd stop trying.
Kerry Mann Kennelly.
Yeah, it's Will Anderson.
He'll be rap that we're talking about.
I have to, so... Edith Piaf. That's
Edith Piaf.
Edith Piaf.
Great.
It's more like a roller derby name, but still.
Yeah. I feel like mine's more like a roller derby name. Rhonda Lurchmore. It had a budget just under $2 million, made over $33 million.
Yeah.
Big film. Had cultural appeal and did well in America. we're back on track with them. They said it was bringing drag into the mainstream. And then do you remember the film that came out 2 years after this?
Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar.
Well done. So you both won a prize tonight. So that's good. With John Leguizamo, Patrick Swayze and Wesley Snipes.
Was that also directed by Stephen Elliott?
No, it wasn't. Roger Ebert, we had a crack at Roger, but Roger Ebert said about this movie, about Tu Wong Fu, he said, "What is amazing is how the movie manages to be funny and amusing while tippy-toeing around sex, controversy, and any originality in the plot."
Question, what year was Priscilla out? I'm having a...
94?
Right, okay, so that makes sense. So... I don't know what age I saw it, but there was a lot of sexual stuff in it that I didn't understand for years.
Yep. Still don't.
Specifically, the why don't you light your tampon on fire and blow your box apart? I had no idea what that meant.
Right.
No idea. But it was. Yeah. I knew it was something.
Were you dropping it at school? Like just not quite knowing what it meant?
Box. But in my mind, it was spelled in my head. I didn't know. I'd never heard the word box. Like box. Yeah. I was spelling it like B-O-C-K-S. I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Box. So, and tampon. What are these things?
What are these things? Yeah,
I can't remember what I found out, but
You're working with
and the line small ding-a-ling. I was like, that's so scandalous. Yeah.
You're working with Limo on Utopia at the moment. Has he told you what happened with his son recently?
Oh, Laddie? Which one? I love it when he comes in. So anyway,
this is Limo's story, but he's not here, so I'm going to tell it. And and then once it goes out on the podcast, it's mine. And but Limo takes his son Laddie, who's about six, to the swimming pool, and they're having a lovely time. And Laddie turns around and says, "I love you, Daddy. You're my best friend." And Limo's like, "Oh, that is beautiful. That is so nice. Thanks, mate." And then Laddie follows it up with, "It's a shame you're a whining fucking bitch." And Limo goes, "What?" And so Laddie repeats it. "It's a shame you're a whining fucking bitch." And he's like, "What is happening here?" Right? So he takes him home to his wife, Curly. He goes, "Tell your mum what you said. Go on, tell her." So so Laddie tells his mum, and Curly turns around and goes, "Ah, babe, I'm sorry. We've been watching RuPaul's Drag Race. There was a drag queen on who had a puppet, and the puppet was a tumour, and they were talking to each other, and the tumour called her a whining fucking bitch." And Limo's going, "This doesn't make it better."
When he told me, he said the attitude on it as well. He goes, "I love you, Dad, but you're a fucking bitch." Like, it was really sassy.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, Hugo Weaving, when you think about it as well, this has blown my mind apart. Priscilla,
yep.
Lord of the Rings, and the fucking Matrix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine just walking around the world being that guy?
Yeah.
Right?
It'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Which one do you reckon he introduces himself with?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's great. He gets to, like, if you've only done one thing, that's all you get to do. But he gets to come in and say, "Hello, I'm Hugo Weaving. You may know me from stacks of fucking..."
It's got to be Matrix.
Matrix.
It's got to be. He's Agent Smith. He's the... Oh, my gosh.
Have you rewatched The Matrix recently?
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, Matrix, not super recently, but it's great. The first one. Yeah.
Yeah. And
holy shit, sorry, this is very off topic, but did you watch the first episode of Arnie Donna's Comedy Cafe?
Oh, no, not
they yet. they have like a sketch that's a reference to The Matrix, and then the guy comes in who is Mouse. Do you remember who's Mouse?
Oh, yeah.
Who was the Australian guy who was on Home and Away?
Yeah.
Matt Doran?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He comes in the dress up like Mouse from The Matrix.
Yeah.
It was really great.
Man, he must be wrapped.
Yeah, I know. Sitting by the phone like, "This is Mouse."
Yeah. In the Matrix. No.
In the Matrix.
I live with Pippa for a while.
No, I don't want solar panels. Oh.
We have a few more movies going. We have 9 minutes and my...
I don't really have anything on my last one. You can skip my next one. Yeah, what's your one?
All right. So there's a movie that just slipped through the cracks, and I think is fantastic. It is a neo-noir Australian thriller called The Square. It's directed by Nash Edgerton. It's co-written by Joel Edgerton. And it's about a couple in a secret love affair who want to leave their partners, except her partner is a gangster and they need money to make the getaway, and everything goes poorly from there. And when I saw it at the cinema. It felt like an early Coen Brothers film. It was unbelievable, but it made it just had the worst luck of when it came out. It came out in 2008 between two events. Does anyone know? Do you want to take a guess? One of those events is a movie and one of those events is an event.
Is it Saw?
No.
Was it something else that was square? Lamington Festival.
It was
the rectangle came out the week before. Fuck, I can't see any more shape-based movies.
It was the London Olympics and then when Mr. Bean said something bad.
Right.
It was the Olympics.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, okay. The Olympics was after it and it came out before a little film called The Dark Knight. Oh. So The Dark Knight hit, the square came out, the Olympics hit and it just missed. And it's great. Like, so few people have seen it and it's a scorching film. And have you ever met the Edgertons before?
No.
It is overwhelming being in the presence of real men.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not used to it. Like, you know, like, this is the closest with Josh, but, you know, even real man in the comedy world, but in the real world, like, yeah. You know.
I get it, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm much lower. You know, don't worry about that. So, but being around these real men, it's a little bit like, oh, this is quite overwhelming, you know. And Nash is a real sweetheart. The first time I met Nash Edgerton, because he's a stuntman as well, and he was telling me about how his parents came on to see him work on The Phantom Menace, and he was doing his stunt for them, and then they turn up. The first day they get to see him work, he falls off the scaffolding and lands on his face and goes full, you know, Greg Fleet 2002 landing on the teeth routine, you know, and very deep cut for a lot of old school fans here. And he's still so handsome. He's so masculine. And I'm just like, oh, I never knew my dad. I was really excited to be around him. But they're great. And it's a great film and worthwhile seeing.
I just can't imagine working, like making a film with a sibling.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I just have to continually stop filming, call my mum to break up an argument. Right. Mom, she's using my camera. I had it first. I'm older.
She keeps telling me where to be.
Yeah, she keeps telling me where to be. That was my left. Had cake left over from lunch, and I left it there, and it was mine. And she knew it was mine.
Every time.
And now we're 6 months behind budget.
Every time the director yells cut, your siblings go, "I'm Celia. Look at me."
I say cut. You say action. We had a deal. Yeah.
Do you have siblings, Josh?
Yeah, I got a lot of them.
See, could you make movies with them?
I got two that like full siblings and two half siblings. My brothers, it would be more them just go, oh, we're going to rehearse this, and they go, oh, I'll just do it on the day. Nah, don't need. That would be the reaction. I'd be the one trying to get everyone in order, and they go, oh, I'll just do it on the day. My young woman, I'm a doctor. I'll just say that at every opportunity. All right, we get it, mate. You're a doctor. All right.
Yeah, doctor. Do you just do that on the day? That'd be terrible, doctor.
Started off as a foot doctor, not a real doctor.
Hey.
Podiatrist. All right. Yeah,
yeah. The only way is up, Josh. Yeah. It's from the foot. You get it.
I don't know my dad or have any siblings and I'm very lonely. But I'll be good because I have all of you and we're going to stay in touch forever. Yay. So anyway, we have 4 minutes. Oh. And I don't want to give my techie Jamie. Can we have a round of applause for Jamie who's done a great job today? Thank you, Jamie. I said to him, these shows normally go long because I'm horrific, and I saw the panic in his eyes. I said, I promise I'm going to keep an eye on the time. He said, I can put up a clock. I can send up a flare. I said, no, I'm going to be good. So can we squeeze in one more film? Can we squeeze in?
I've got one more. So I chose this one mainly because the soundtrack is amazing. The film's not that great, but it's Idiot Box, David Caesar. So at the time, David Caesar was one of the judges on Race Around the World. Remember Race Around the World?
Yeah.
Richard Feiler hosted. John Safran came from Race Around the World.
Oh, yes.
Tony Wilson won the first one. Yep. And he was one of the judges just telling everyone how their short films are shit. And I'm like, oh, I better go watch his film. He must be good. And then I watched him and went, oh, this is shit. Like, but it's... it was... David Caesar was famous because he punched out David Stratton at Cannes for giving him a bad review.
Really?
Yeah. And
that is tasty.
And I don't like David Stratton, so I'm a fan of David Caesar.
Right.
Because of it.
The enemy of my enemy.
So I've said this before on stage, but David Stratton once, I was at the ABC launch for 2014 season, and I ended it and said, I'll see you all next year. I'll see you in 2014. And he made a beeline to me and said, it's 2014. And I was like, come on, mate. I've just died in front of everyone. You don't need to correct me. And I was like, yeah, but if you say $2,000, like, I'd say I got $900, but if I go to $2,000, I'll go, $2,000. He goes, no, dates are different. Dates are different. And we were having an argument. And
I give this conversation one star.
ABC Publicity were loitering around going, oh, I've got to pull these two apart. We don't want to cause a scene. And I was like, oh, yeah, that great film, 2001 A Space Odyssey. Yeah, anyway, so... yeah. But the soundtrack's great.
Yeah.
Robin Lau was in the film. She was in Girlfriend. Do you remember Girlfriend?
Yeah.
The band Girlfriend. And this was her... getting away from the pop star, and she was doing like more serious.
It was really
music.
Gritty. I remember. It's Ben Mendelsohn, isn't it?
Mendo, Mendo, and who's the other guy?
It's
in
a real loose
hair?
Unit.
Jeremy Sims.
Jeremy Sims. Yeah, and he had a T-shirt that said "Get a dog up ya."
Yeah,
yeah. But it came out at the same time as Black Rock, and Idiot Box had all the buzz. But then when at the films, everyone went, "Actually, Black Rock's a better film."
Oh.
Have you seen Black Rock?
No.
Black Rock's really
is
good.
It based on the play? Is it the play?
I'd say so.
The
yeah,
David
yeah.
Williamson play. I've seen the play.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's how that's cultured. Subject, yeah.
I know.
Sorry.
It's
I was
kind of
the
like
theater.
The film, but 3D.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. That's and how they should sell it.
Yes, yes.
isn't the career of Ben Mendelsohn a thrill? Like, oh, because good. For a while there, we never, like, you know, like, is he going to be around? And then it turns out he's not only around, he's everywhere. Like,
that's another one, Cozzy. Fucking great.
Oh, yeah.
Go Cozzy. Burn a cat. Great film.
Get a big
that's not a line
there.
For the film, I just feel
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I know. It's been your saying for years. It's been the classic CPAC into a show.
Shit, that, oh my God. Cozzy, amazing fun fact, has a cameo of Paul Mercurio.
Right.
When they're doing the talent quest, he's wearing roller skates and he's real unco.
Yeah, right.
And he falls down.
Yeah, but is he handsome?
Yeah, he's still handsome. He was still handsome at that point.
Well, if there's anything we've learnt today, it is Australian movies are fantastic and we should watch more of them. If you were handsome when you were younger, fucking hold on to it because not all of us get to grow up to be Blue Rinse Beefcakes in their 50s. So, Josh, is there anything you would like to plug?
Oh, I have two shows in the festival. I do a podcast called Don't You Know Who I Am. I'm doing one on Tuesday night at the Festival Club just opposite here. The lineup is Mark Watson, Deanne Smith, Ed Gamble and Sarah Schaefer. It's 11:30. Come to that one. That's one. Yeah, so that tickets at the festival. So there, come to that.
And what about you, Celia Pakwala?
You're not going to fucking believe it. You're not going to. No one's going to believe it. I will be inexplicably hosting a reboot of Thank God You're Here.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah. I have no idea how that's going to go. It's open to booking to be in the audience. I've got no idea. So please come and support it. I don't know.
Want
I don't
any
know.
Tips on how to host a reboot?
Dude.
I can tell you a few little stories.
Seriously, like genuinely.
Oh, just don't do what I did. Don't get them to play the original show on the same time some nights when your show's on.
Yeah.
Just an hour and a half beforehand. That would be fucking nice as well. You know what? I asked Adam Richard if he wanted to say anything and he said no, but if he'd known you were going to drop that, he would have fucking flown down for it. So, and this show would have gone way over time. So, all right, round of applause for Josh Earl, Celia Pakwala. Thank you very much for coming out. I've been Justin Hamilton.
Give it up.
Thank you to Josh and Celia for being such great guests. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the live show. Should we do more of these? They're a lot of fun. I'd be up for that, especially when the audiences are so great. Thank you to Dane for being our Patreon subscriber for the episode. If you'd like to support our work here, leaving a top review on Apple Podcasts will help people find Big Squid in this crowded podcast space. The more top reviews, the better. So if you have spare time to write one, that would be greatly appreciated. Even word of mouth is great as well. So, you know, if you don't have time, even in just passing, suggesting that other people give us a listen, that would be lovely. Look, we talked about Yahoo Serious a lot on this podcast. I even opened up with a Yahoo Serious comment, so I thought we should give him the final say with a quote. And to be honest, I agree with this quote a lot. Yahoo Serious said,
It's because we are so flooded with American culture that we're startled when we see ourselves up there on the screen. So we have to be careful, because if you don't protect your culture, you won't have it for very long. See, that's what Roger Ebert missed. I love Roger Ebert, but that's the point. That was our culture. Don't give us a bad review for putting our culture on the screen. Jeez. All right, until then.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.